Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle on the west coast of the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I wanted to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your spirit guides and angels, please call me anytime at 509-750-9793 here in the United States. There's also a toll-free number at 1-888-879-8339 in the United States and Canada. You can also email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to tell everyone that my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held in Olympia, Washington, here in the United States, just south of Seattle, from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. And there will be a substantial discount of only $55 for the entire conference, for the entire weekend, if you register early. For details, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition, this summer, from July 2nd through the 8th of July, and also from September 6th to the 11th, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. The cost is just $200 for either dates for the week, and we'll be camping right on Mount Shasta, literally just a few hundred yards, barely a few minutes walk to several different entrances to the Hollow Earth. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta and Telos in the Hollow Earth since 2016. And in 2016, five or six people from Korea actually physically went into the Hollow Earth and then took a shuttle to Shambhala, the ancient mythical city, which is in the Aegean Sea beneath Greece. This is an amazing opportunity for people to visit Telos in the Hollow Earth, but there's certain spiritual protocols that you have to follow before you come. I also have to get you cleared with the people of Telos before you come. They like people to be of positive and the highest vibrations. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Both trips are starting to fill up already, even though they're some months off. I'm going to be keeping the group small because I don't want a lot of people coming along. Once you register, there will be certain spiritual protocols which the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth recommend that you follow. Every year that I've been down there, we always see lots of Sasquatch as well as UFOs as well from the Hollow Earth. One request that the Sasquatch always make is that they always love non-GMO white frosted cinnamon rolls. It's difficult, they say, to get them out in the woods. And what I do as for fun, we always pull our cinnamon rolls, white frosted cinnamon rolls together, and then we put them around the forest. And the next day, the Sasquatch have always eaten them up. Also, I wanted to say that my good friend Sonny or Sharon Bunnell, who was a wonderful psychic, passed away a few days ago. And I'd like to bring on a couple of people to remember her. I know that they're having an event at the Crystal Void Spiritual Center, I believe I'm not sure the date, April 22nd or 23rd. But with that, I'd like to bring in, I think her name's Pat, from the Crystal Voyage, who would like to talk about Sunny. Are you there?
Yes, it's Pat Brack.
Hi, Pat.
Hi there. And the event, for those who would like to attend, will be on Sunday, April 22nd from noon to 5. The name of the store has changed. It's Crystal Spiritual Center, the old sign, Crystal Voyage is still up. And the date is actually not a coincidence because we will be marking the anniversary of the passing of the owner of the store, Crystal, who passed away almost right at this time last year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow. For Sunny, we have lost just a dear friend, mm-hmm. and it was quite a shock. But the thing about Sunny was, first of all, she really started doing a lot more teaching. She was just this wonderful, gifted teacher, and it was oracle cards, and yet she was also dispensing so much of her wisdom as well.
Right.
And the one story that I would share is a number of us, we were at an event, we were doing psychic readings. It was more like a arts and crafts fair. And we were not being well received by the community. It was they weren't real thrilled with us. And this very young girl, maybe about 12 or so, she wanted a reading. Not with Sonny, I think it was with another reader. And the girl was just fascinated. She was just so awake and open. And then when she was done, she came back with her parents. And her mom was okay with it, but not the dad. And he was not happy about this. And so Sonny started talking to him. And the course of the conversation, I don't know because my back was to him. I was facing the other way. But he sat down, and she gave him a reading. And by the time they were done, he gave her a hug.
Oh, how sweet.
And how the sweet. the thing about Sonny that was so wonderful is that for all the pain that she went through everything in her life, she kept that heart open. And my feeling, because as I'm trying to help people myself, you know, move into this new reality, this new earth that we're really working for, it doesn't, in the long run, it's not about the fancy words and the theories and so forth. You raise people's consciousness by opening your own heart. That really is it. And she did it so well. And it's been a little tough these couple days. I was here yesterday as well at the store, and there was a couple customers, and they were just, you know, Sonny had also taught them, and so much of her teaching, I think, will go now and travel outward to all these people that she touched.
Yeah.
And the thing about being a teacher, you know, you it's not a tangible thing that you pass to anyone.
Right.
It's just a seed that you plant in the heart.
Right.
And there was something about her. I always thought, I love going by your office. It was like stopping by, I don't know, like seeing your favorite aunt or your favorite neighbor.
Yeah, she treated you like she always treated you like family.
Yeah,
and she
yeah,
was
that's
genuinely always with her heart, always always loved to see you. Never had an unkind word to say about anyone unless they deserved it. She just said,
"Well, it's right." And one of the clients mentioned, she said she could get tough when she needed to because she was very down home.
Yeah.
She was very to the point.
Yeah.
But she did it in such a loving way.
Yeah.
And and everyone who heard about it, just as I said, they just sort of been devastated by it. She's the person that you always expect to be there.
Sure.
You know, and but yeah, that was I picture her sitting on a porch somewhere, you know. And you walk by, oh, come on up, sit down, tell me what's going on with you.
Sure.
And,
she's with her mom right now. That's what I was told by another psychic she had contacted. And it was a total surprise. On one level, it was a surprise. On the other level, I was told that she'd planned to exit.
She did.
Yeah, she planned to exit.
And,
so,
we did notice in the past couple of months, we all noticed something had switched a little. She was still friendly, but she was becoming a little more remote.
Mm-hmm.
She was pulling back from a lot of things, and
right.
and a number of people noticed it. And she even had cleaned out a lot of her office space. It's like, I always feel that there's some part of us on another level that already knows. And Sonny had lost her daughter in a car accident, and it was something she never quite got over. And so I know that she's with her daughter as well, excuse me, and also with Crystal. And Lord knows one of them alone was a powerhouse. The two combined was a dynamic duo. And what they have planned on the other side, good Lord. But we know, and she was in a lot of pain. She had a lot of she was going in for the knee.
Right.
But yeah, so you're correct. It's sort of like on one, you know, because when we look at the soul, we're looking at different aspects. And the one part, I'm just going in for the surgery, but there was another part that was already kind of moving in that direction.
Right. Well, she was a wonderful lady, and I've asked my producer to also bring in a good friend of hers named Darlene Matthews from
yes.
Spokane. I don't know if you knew Darlene.
I do know Darlene.
But she's a, yeah, good, good. She's, we're getting her on the line now to say some nice words. And when is that memorial again? When is that celebration?
The memorial will be, it will be April 22nd. That's a Sunday.
Okay, that's
and
Earth
it
Day.
Will be 12 to 5, and it's a potluck celebration.
Okay.
And yeah.
Okay.
And it will be at the store.
At the store. Okay, great, great. Well, we're trying to reach Darlene now, and then we'll go on to my next guest. But thank you so much for remembering her. The address of the Crystal Voyage Crystal Spiritual Center is 802 South Cedar Street in Tacoma. Their phone number is 253-272-4367. And we'll see if we're able to get. No, we aren't able to reach Darlene. That's too bad. But Pat, thank you so much for coming on and helping to remember Sunny. She's
a beautiful, sweet soul. Right, and thank you, Ted. Thank you for bringing this up. We just, as I said, she's a great light, and thank you for honoring her with this.
Oh, my pleasure. She's here now. Thank you so much for coming on today, Pat.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you so much. With that, I'd like to go on to the wonderful Dr. Jerry Jerome Corsi, who's coming to us today. He's written a wonderful book called Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. It's an amazing and courageous book. I've read the book. And Dr. Corsi was on my show back in 2014, and it's been too long since I had him last. Dr. Corsi, Jerry, are you there?
I'm right here. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Oh, good. Thank you so much for coming on today. I really appreciate it. Dr. Corsi received a PhD from Harvard University in political science in 1972. He's written a lot of really good books, including the number one New York Times bestseller, The Obama Nation, another book called Unfit for Command, Swift Boat Veterans Speak Out Against John Kerry, which was also a number one New York Times bestseller. He's a regular contributor to worldnetdaily.com, and his latest book is called Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. And Jerry, you're a very courageous man to write your books, and they're very enlightening. And I tell you, I really enjoyed reading your most recent book.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I wrote Killing of the Deep State because I wanted to share with people what I consider to be the absolutely smoking gun evidence against the FBI. Mm-hmm. I think when you read the book, you're going to be stunned. It's clear there was an actual coup d'etat plan, treasonous plan, that was hatched within the FBI,
mm-hmm.
Seeking to oust Donald Trump from office.
Right. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, there's so many. It reads some like a suspense novel in a way. If you look at all the things that some negative elements have tried to do to disrupt his presidency. I can't think of any example in recent years other than the outright assassination of perhaps of President Kennedy back in 1963, where there's been so many negative elements trying to disrupt a new president.
Well, I think what happened is the deep state has grown. I mean, since the George H.W. Bush, the bureaucracy has been moving harder and harder to the left,
mm-hmm.
and it's increasingly a New World Order bureaucracy that tends to view the United States as outmoded. I mean, it kind of agrees with a lot of the Democrats on no borders. And,
right.
And so when Donald Trump came on the scene as America First and was campaigning on Make America Great Again,
mm-hmm.
restoring the Constitution, these deep state actors within the bureaucracy, largely the Justice Department, the FBI, and the intelligence agencies, but extending all the way into the White House, the Obama White House, actually began committing criminal acts in their determination to devise a plot that would be able to impeach Donald Trump if he won.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way they committed crimes in the furtherance of this goal constitutes treason.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree with you more. I guess the thing is, it's amazing to me it's been so blatant about it. The whole thing about this Russian investigation by Robert Mueller, I think, personally, it's like a red herring. I mean, they could look from now for the next 1,000 years and they won't find anything.
Well, first of all, Russian collusion is not a crime. There's no crime defined as Russian collusion.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I mean, all Mueller's been able to do is indict these 13 kind of wacky Russians who posted on U.S. social media during the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
But the Department of Justice says that these posts did not make any impact at all on the outcome of the election.
Hmm.
And beyond that, there was no collusion with Donald Trump or with his campaign. So if that's all Mueller's got, Mueller's really out of gas.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you wrote in your book that it was almost unprecedented for Mr. Mueller to have there's no direction. I mean, he could go out and investigate, for example, the mating patterns of fruit flies, and it would still be within his charge.
Right. I mean, he could start investigating whether Donald Trump had Russian salad dressing for lunch.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the fact that that Mueller's investigation is kind of out of gas, and the fact that this recent raid on Michael Cohen, the attorney to Donald Trump, which occurs in early morning, like 6 a.m., they knock down doors
and right.
multiple locations. They start carting off all kinds of evidence, material they want, whether it was related or not. I mean,
right.
file cabinets, computers, any kind of records they can get their hands on.
Right.
And, this type of dragnet is what you see in the KGB or the Gestapo. I mean, this is not...
Or in Germany in the 1930s.
Right. I mean, I know Michael Cohen. He's a gentleman. He's an officer of the court. He
sure.
would readily comply with any legitimate search warrant that Robert Mueller might have.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
idea that you can just come in and burst the door down and take whatever you want, this kind of dragnet search, seems to me to be a blatant violation of the Fourth Amendment right.
Oh, absolutely.
And really the kind of thing that, it's very frightening to think that that's how the special prosecutor would operate with a U.S. attorney doing the dirty work in the Southern District of New York FBI, actually breaking down the doors of Michael Cohen's office.
It comes to the point where when they start violating the Constitution and doing all these illegal things, who controls them? Congress, I guess? Could Congress sanction them for their activities?
Well, yes, but see, this is where I say this deep state plot
mm-hmm.
Has been very deep within the Department of Justice. We even today got word the Inspector General has released a report showing that this Andrew McCabe, who is Deputy Director of the FBI under Comey, had actually lied under oath several times, including to the Inspector General, and had leaked documents to the public. All of these are crimes, and of course, if Comey was his immediate supervisor, the release of this document today implicates Comey.
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't Comey? Was Comey involved in the same activities?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to create a narrative that would take Donald Trump out of office should he win the election.
Sure. I want to run something by you. Jerry, you wrote a wonderful book, and it has to do with the last November of 2017, when Mr. Trump, President Trump, was scheduled to release documents from the Kennedy assassination that had been under seal for, 50 years or whatever. And he released just a few documents, and then a few days later, as if to keep the public off track of what was going on with these documents, this information from the Kennedy assassination, Mr. Mueller comes out with indictments against the campaign manager of the Trump campaign. I personally believe that was a way to keep people off the track of asking about the Kennedy assassination, and it made me wonder who he was working for, the American people or the deep state.
Well, I think Mueller is a deep state operator. I don't have any doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
He goes back. One of the things that when you read Killing Deep State that's so shocking is how many years these people of McCabe, Mueller, Comey have worked together and the ties they have with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and even with George Soros.
Oh, yeah.
These people are deeply tied together. And Mm-hmm. By the way, what President Trump did on the Kennedy papers is I think they have until, April 28th to produce all the documents, not redacted. We're going to see what happens there. President Trump may still have a fight coming with the deep state to get all the Kennedy documents released, but he seems resolved to do so.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, you know, a lot of people have been killed or died mysteriously related to the Kennedy assassination.
Sure.
And I hope that doesn't happen to President Trump. I hope he continues.
Well, my book predicts what I'm saying is that there's going to be a counterattack. President Trump, I think, has started it actually today.
Mm-hmm.
He gave a pardon to Scooter Libby, which makes it clear that that he's not going to tolerate political prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a signal that you may have the Flynn case. General Flynn may get a pardon.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Paul Manafort may get a pardon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are, I think, and then the Inspector General's report today, which is just beginning to penetrate through Washington, which I think will lead to a call for a special prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And these developments, I think, are the beginning of the Trump counterattack. And I predict that Trump's going to be successful. That Mueller, it's like a chess game. Mueller had the opening at the chess game, and he tried an attack on, you know, Trump, White King, and Trump, you know, protected the, you know, Mueller playing black did not succeed in a checkmate. So now Trump's turn in the mid game to organize a counterattack. I think Trump's pieces are positioned where he's going to succeed. I'm predicting the end game will be Trump wins, but it's going to be a process that may take a couple of years.
Sure.
As Trump brings all these, I think, treasonous conspirators to justice.
I of course my show is we welcome all viewpoints here, Jerry, and I really love your work. You always do such good work and write such good books. And a lot of people I bring on are psychics and spiritual people too. And one of the people I brought on last Friday was a fellow named Simon Parks. He's a famous fellow in England, and he said during this next 9 months, I wanted to share this with you, for the next 9 months till January of 2019. We'll have tremendous revelations about what's been going on in the U.S. and other governments. And then after that, there'll be several years of good structural changes. And this includes the secret space program, pedophilia, all kinds of things going on, mastermind by the deep state. So I think President Trump ultimately will win in his fight, because he's got not only the people behind him, but also the tide has turned against these negative elements. So I wanted to share that with you, because I do...
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, I do see, and I sense, that we have kind of a spiritual, you know, rebirth going on in America over these issues. The people are looking at the deep state, and, you know, the Democratic Party has gone so hard to the left. I mean, it's certainly not the Democratic Party that I grew up with, of John Kennedy and Hubert Humphrey. I mean, you've got Tom Perez, who's a La Raza lawyer. And you've got Keith Ellison, who is, we now know, a Black Panther in addition to being a Black Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they lead the party. And so, you know, you begin to think that this is a group that more resembles a European-style socialist or communist party.
Mm-hmm.
And they're intolerant. I mean, they don't want a First Amendment. They don't want a Second Amendment. They don't even want a Fourth Amendment, because they think they're going to control the social media and all the data that is collected, you know, including by the NSA and CIA, will be used to censor conservatives and libertarians. And these are the battles we're fighting right now. And the American people, I think, are beginning to wake up to the fact that the deep state has an agenda, the shadow government agenda, which is not the agenda of the average American citizen.
Well, let me share with you what happened to me on Facebook a couple of months ago. I had a show on John F. Kennedy. What a wonderful guy he is, and I'm a psychic, and I do talk to him, and his messages for our beautiful, bright future. And that was last November. And as soon as I posted it on Facebook, it was deleted, and then I was banned for 10 days from Facebook. And then I tried to post it again, and they shut down my advertising account. So my advertising now account is disabled. I still have an account on Facebook. but it's made me really leery of them because they seemed. I wrote them an email asking, "Did you do it for political reasons?" Because I had nothing. There was nothing libelous or anything. I didn't accuse anybody of any negative deeds at all. I just wanted a program about what a great man John F. Kennedy, and they censored me for it.
Well, that's remarkable. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but, you know, I was censored on YouTube, and I complained about it bitterly, and within 24 hours, they said it was a mistake, and they reinstated it. But,
okay,
you know, I've got probably a bigger megaphone and can complain more, but
yeah.
There's lots of people out there who are being censored, and it's a serious problem.
I read the U.S. Constitution the other day, the First Amendment, Jerry, and there's nothing in there that says that Mr. Zuckerberg and Facebook can censor people according to what they believe should be the truth. I can't find it.
It says, well, and Donald Trump, I think, is on this case. It's not in there, but Donald Trump's on the case. Donald Trump has let it be known that there's going to be regulations, and there's going to be, even the Federal Trade Commission, issues of privacy as well as free speech are going to be pursued for new sets of regulations. And there's a move to get an Internet Bill of Rights passed by Congress. So I think a lot of things are in motion there, too, and will change. But again, you know, when writing Killing the Deep State, I wanted to make it clear how all these tools have been used by the hard left to advance towards this one world government, new world order idea.
Right.
And I think part of the frustration the deep state's had, part of the intense hatred of Donald Trump, is that the hard left felt like they were within, you know, reaching distance of accomplishing their goals.
Right.
And if Hillary had won, I'm sure we would be, you know, already further down the path of the, you know, of abandoning the American Constitution and moving into this global governance situation.
I personally think if Hillary Clinton become president, we would have gotten into a nuclear war by last year. Easily.
Yes, we would have been headed down to where, you know, there's thought crimes and hate crimes would have been, you know, all the phobias that Hillary talked about and the deplorables, those would have now been crimes. I mean, you know, and that's, I think, where, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion has got to be valued in this country, where we can object to issues and discuss issues without being put in prison.
Well, that's one of the reasons why my show has now has over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries. It's the fastest growing spiritual and metaphysical radio show in the world, Jerry. And that's because
thank you
so much, my friend. And that's because people want the truth, and they're tired of being lied to, and they're tired of getting only getting kind of Melba Toast news stories where everything's been edited. I guess from the ratings. More people listen to the cartoon channel now than they do CNN during the day.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny.
It really is. But no, I'm still fighting. You know, my book will be not on NBC, ABC, CBS. I mean, it's probably going to be one of the best selling books of the entire Trump presidency.
Sure.
Number one on Amazon the first day it came out, but yet I'm not going to get interviewed by the Washington Times or the Washington Post or the New York Times.
Nope.
They don't want you to read a book like Killing the Deep State. It's too threatening, and they don't want people awakened to the kinds of things that, you know, you realize when you see how close we were to losing the American Constitution.
Well, I think the other issue, too, is that they don't want to know. It's kind of like rats in a basement. If you shine lights on a rat, in rats in a basement, they'll all scatter and run and hide. They don't want your spotlight on the deep state. They don't want that spotlight. They prefer to remain hidden with this facade of democracy, with this facade of a free press that's controlled. It's amazing, really. People have taken news stories, for example, from all the alphabet news agencies, ABC, NBC, CBS, even NPR, and they say the same thing. Every night they say the same thing and often use the same reporters with the same video equipment and the recorders. And it's like listening to this government propaganda over and over and over again. But people want more than that. They want the truth now.
I think that's right. I think that's why my book has done well, even though the mainstream media is trying to block Killing the Deep State, because people are aware that there is this shadow government.
Right.
and they are aware that, you know, things are not right, that there's an agenda the bureaucracy has that's independent of how we vote.
Mm-hmm.
And Donald Trump, I think, represents a move back to a set of beliefs where we can embrace the Constitution, we can still have devotion to God, mm-hmm. we don't have to pray with Bibles in a closet.
Right.
And, you know, he understands what the American Revolution was all about. And I think today we don't even teach it in schools, which is, again, an increasing problem.
I'm not sure even if we even teach the Constitution in schools, so people don't know their constitutional rights.
Probably not.
Probably not, no. Mm-mm.
You know, so that's where, you know, killing the deep state, my goal is really to wake people up to the nature of this conspiracy and to show them how Donald Trump is going to have to fight it or his presidency will be lost.
Right.
Because the goal of the deep state is to remove Donald Trump from the presidency, either by, you know, impeaching him or by declaring that he's mentally incompetent or ultimately even by assassinating him. I think they would go that far.
Oh, of course they would. Of course they would. Well, it's a sad commentary on things, but you know, Dr. Corsi, one thing I like about you is that you're raising consciousness, and the term even deep state is gaining greater currency now. People are starting to talk about it now, thanks to you and others.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm trying to do everything we can so that we preserve the American Constitution and the liberties we have for future generations. And I think that's something we need to all be dedicated to trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, a well-known astrologist, Susan Miller from New York City, told me 4 years ago, it was in April of 2014, Jerry, that this is a time of truth, that things that are true will become even more evident and those that are false will become evident as being false and fall by the wayside. And she said as this decade goes on, and this will extend into the 2020s and 2030s, that there will be disclosures that you wouldn't believe, not only about government, but also the secret space program, pedophilia, all kinds of things that have been that negative entities, negative forces have tried to hide from the American public and the world. But they're not going to be able to do it anymore. You know, when Facebook banned my advertising account, I still got the word out. And your book, even though the major media is not reporting on giving you any time at all, it's still getting out there. And I think it's telling. You said it's the number one best-selling New York Times book?
No, it won't be New York Times. I think I'll probably break into the list later this month.
Okay.
But it won't be, you know, they'll have me number 13 or 15. I mean, it won't be, it will have sold still more books than two-thirds of the books on the list, but they will have rigged their algorithms to be able to put it lower down on the list. But I think it's going to be impossible to keep it off of the New York Times bestseller list.
Right.
Because it is selling so well, they're going to have to acknowledge it.
Right. Yeah, I think eventually. I also see the collapse of major media outlets within a few years here in the U.S. They won't be able to get the advertising revenues because people won't support them anymore. That's what I'm looking at. I mean, how can CNN survive with ratings below the cartoon channel? I don't understand.
It's amazing to me. I mean, they have so few viewers, and yet they stay in business. It is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how they do it.
Yeah.
But they're subsidized, and, you know, the corporate forces behind the hard left that want to go into this new world order, this global, you know, multinational corporation environment, they'll pay to have their point of view broadcast. And that's part of what we're fighting. Even in Fox News today, we have to fight more and more against the commentators from the left that are populating the shows.
Interesting. There was a quote I saw a few months ago on the internet. It was a news reporter from MSN. I can't remember her name, but she said that their job as a reporter on MSN was not to report news so much it was to mold people's minds as to their point of view, which I thought was very telling.
Well, they're engaged in propaganda.
Sure.
And it's much more a propaganda effort than it is a news effort. And the left is into propaganda. Most of the positions the left takes, they don't want to argue. because they know they can't win the argument.
Right.
And this is the difficulty, is that, you know, climate change, all these things are supposed to be just doctrinaire. You're just supposed to, they're ideology.
Mm-hmm.
They're beyond question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, increasingly the support for those opposed to Donald Trump don't want to engage in a discussion or an argument. They're just more angry than anything else.
Right, right. One of the messages I've gotten from the other side, from President Kennedy, actually, is that we're all one. We all have the spark of the Creator within us, and it's time for us to look at not people as Democrats or Republicans, but how we can make this planet and this country a better world and a better place. So I've read your book, Jerry. It's a wonderful piece of work, and I'm amazed of all the Machiavellian kinds of plans that the other side's been up to try to derail things. I don't think they'll be successful. Nothing will work for them.
Well, I think you're right, but I think it's going to take Donald Trump a couple of years to turn this around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to watch him do it, and I think it's beginning right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Someone told me last month that there'd been 6 assassination attempts on his life since he was elected. Do you know much about that?
Well, they're not been announced or anything. I mean, they may have been some attempts.
Right.
But in terms of serious attempts, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly the Secret Service doesn't go around and announce them when they do stop something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if it's just one or two people, like people breach the White House grounds and things of that nature, they have to be taken as if they were assassination attempts. But again, you know, you don't really know until, you know, one succeeds, and that's the problem.
Right.
You have to take every one of them seriously, and you have to protect the president no matter what. And this president, I'm sure, is under a lot of attack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's almost as like we've never had a free president since the assassination of President Kennedy back in the early 60s. You look at a string of, I mean, LBJ was a crook. Nixon was impeached. Gerald Ford came right after that. We've had a series of presidents, and they all seem to be in one way or another controlled. Jerry, I don't know how you feel about that, but it's except for President Trump, who does have his free will. I know he's not perfect, but he does seem to want to try to make the world a better place and this country a better country.
Well, I do think there's clearly an element, you know, that the presidents we've had have been very much controlled by the deep state and products of the deep state, largely the CIA. I mean, George H.W. Bush had CIA connections.
Sure.
Nixon had such a dark side to him, such a brooding dark side.
Mm-hmm.
And the CIA has been a major influence in our politics, much more than people realize.
Sure.
And the CIA has been a rogue organization. It's been running drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They can still run drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw that in Vietnam with Air America. We saw it in the Iran-Contra affair, that the CIA is a rogue organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the Department of Justice doesn't stop it,
doesn't
investigate the CIA.
Right.
And, you know, these are the kinds of things that make you realize after a while that, you know, if you're a Democrat under the current deep state, you know, anything Democrats do is fine. Hillary couldn't commit a crime.
Right.
But if you're the Republican, or if you're, you know, Donald Trump, they're not going to leave you alone until they find something that they can get.
Right.
Anything.
Right. Right.
It's not Russian collusion anymore. That can't be proved. So anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a payment to a porn star is grabbed on with as much enthusiasm by Robert Mueller.
Right.
But he has no interest in looking at all about Hillary's emails.
Right, exactly, exactly. Well, I hope somebody back there will try to rein them in. Do you think President Trump will fire Robert Mueller?
I don't think he'll fire Robert Mueller. I think he might try to get Rosenstein first to be either fired or to resign.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Because I think that's probably the key player in the Department of Justice who's controlling Mueller.
Mm-hmm.
And if Rosenstein were replaced by somebody more favorable to Donald Trump, I think there could be a possibility of ending Mueller's operation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's, I think, tactically the kind of thing that Donald Trump is going to try to do rather than fire Mueller.
One thing you've written a little bit about George Soros in your book, and I'm sure you know his background. He joined the SS in World War II, and according to his own accounts of his role in Eastern Europe, he took a lot of money and property from the Jews who were being persecuted in Eastern Europe. And he, in his own words, said that that was the best job he ever had. And yet, he's allowed to pretty much do whatever he wants to do today, carte blanche. And I'd love your opinion of him or his activities.
Well, I mean, I think George Soros is another dark and kind of evil force. I mean, he mm-hmm. has supported all these hard left movements, including the Antifa movement, which I point out was the symbols and the everything from that movement is copied out of the Communist Party in Weimar Republic, Germany in the 30s. These were the communist street thugs, were Antifa. Hmm. And George Soros has pumped money into that group. He's pumped money into Black Lives Matters, which, is a group that is very much accusing the police of all kinds of crimes and really attacking the police left and right,
mm-hmm.
and turning people against the police, which I think is a great tragedy.
Right. Right. He seems to feed on negativity and violence. Antifa, A-N-T-I-F-A, is short for anti-fascist. And you write that everywhere is considered a battlefield by Mr. Soros. In other words, he loves anarchy. Is it the deep state's long-term goal to create anarchy here in the United States so that they'll create their own one-world government? Is that right?
They view anarchy as a way to get political change. The people will give up rights, and the people will go into totalitarian structures if they see political violence or they're afraid of what's going on. And the creation of chaos and anarchy is a means the communists have used to create power.
Sure.
The Nazis were, they were fascists, but they were on the left. I mean, the fascists were also another form of leftist totalitarianism.
Mm-hmm.
And they also would do the same kind of creating of chaos and the like. The brown shirts fought against the Antifa, and that's where mm-hmm. Soros is driving his energy.
Right, right. I guess one thing I don't understand, Jerry, and if there's a listener out there in my audience around the world could email me with an answer, is why George Soros is not in jail. I mean, he helped in the persecution of Jews in Eastern Europe, took their property, before they were sent off to concentration camps to be murdered. I don't know why he's still walking around. Why he wasn't persecuted?
And he is a Jew. In addition to that.
Oh wow.
And that's what makes it so horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
That he was a Jew who turned another Jew.
Wow.
And worked with the SS in the process of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes it, I think, so, for most people, so revealing about his personality and about his whole negativity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'd like to make a prediction, Jerry, and I think
sure.
that within a year or two, a lot of the things that you've written about, the negative things going on, will be resolved in a positive way for President Trump and the country as a whole. I hope that people will learn to work together rather than fight all the time. I don't think this constant fighting does anybody any good. And it detracts us as well, Jerry, from solving our own problems here in the country. And we've got a lot of challenges here. And I think everybody is on the same page as that we all want to make this planet a better place and America a better country. So that's my take on it anyway.
Well, I hope you're right.
Yeah.
And I'm doing my part to call attention to these issues and mm-hmm. to get people to be aware
mm-hmm.
and to start thinking hard and get involved.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. In Australia, it's if you don't vote, you can it's a crime not to vote. Isn't that interesting?
Right. Yeah.
So maybe we would have a better Congress if everybody was forced to vote. I don't know.
It could be. I mean, those there are abuses in those situations, too. I think that what's needed is for people to become aware of, you know, all of the abuses that we're talking about, and, you know, the elite involvement with pedophilia, the Luciferianism that's out in Hollywood and around in great Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
These are issues that I think that are held below the surface,
mm-hmm.
and that they're beginning to come to light. The NSA's and you know, the CIA's involvement, the intelligence agency's involvement in creating social media.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that there are many of the programs that were initially developed by the Pentagon or the CIA were transferred to the Zuckerberg.
Oh, really?
Yes, sure.
Oh, wow. So those programs now are at Facebook?
And, you know, Facebook, a program the Pentagon had called LifeLog, which was going to create these databases of human, of every person,
mm-hmm.
and what you liked, which all the things that you did and enjoyed, what you didn't like, the movies you went to, the trips you took.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they closed it down, and then the same day they awarded the grant to Zuckerberg and Facebook to create LifeLog.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And transferred the technology from the CIA and the Pentagon into Facebook. A lot of the, virtually all the, Google was created the same way. Google was created by the CIA,
mm-hmm.
with the CIA transferring technology into the company,
mm-hmm.
and letting it be developed privately, but to be developed for CIA goals, with the idea that CIA would actually have employees within Google, and the data would be shared.
Oh, how interesting. How interesting. So anybody who uses Google for searches or posts things on Facebook, do they have a file somewhere at Facebook on them?
And it's the CIA and the NSA.
I see.
They create comprehensive files on everybody.
Interesting.
And the social media are just some of the data entry points.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted an article today about this on my Twitter account.
Okay.
Some of the research being done, going back into the roots of the social media companies,
mm-hmm.
and how they were funded and traced back to military applications and to the CIA.
So let's say it's 5 years from now, and there's a new president, hypothetically. Let's say we have a new president, but this president is like Richard Nixon, who's very paranoid about everybody and has an enemies list. Could a president using that technology from Facebook and Google give that list of names, for example, to those organizations and have files and dossiers on people?
Absolutely.
Okay. Wow. I have a problem with that, Jerry, personally.
Well, certainly. And I mean, all the data was transferred out. I am going to have to sign off here.
Okay.
I've got another.
That's okay.
A couple things coming on that I just have to attend to. I got a couple instant messages I have to attend to. So if you'll excuse me.
That's totally fine, Jerry. You know, it's been such an honor to have you back on. And thank you so much for coming on today. You've written a wonderful book.
My great pleasure.
And keep up your good work.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Well, that was Jerome Corsi. He's written a wonderful book called Killing the Deep State. I guess I want to go back to my first hour with Lori Spanga. She was an animal psychic, and one of the messages that she gave me from my cat Fluffy was that to remain positive and optimistic about the future. So I brought Dr. Corsi on today because I enjoy his books, and I like his viewpoint on things. And not as a doom and gloom thing. I think that one of the things we need to learn in this country is not to argue and fight with each other. That we can get along, and that we all have the spark of the supreme being or the prime creator within us. And within that, I think everyone can agree around the world that we do want to make this planet a better place, and because we all have God within us or the supreme being within us, that that we're here to get along and not to fight. I think certainly the vibrations of the planet are rising dramatically. I've mentioned this before on the air in my other programs, but for tens of thousands of years, the the hertz or the vibration of planet Earth was at 7.8 hertz, and it was that at that level up until September of 2016 when it doubled, almost doubled at 13.8 hertz. Then in December of 2016, it went to 36 hertz. In January of 2017, it went to 40 hertz. During the summer of 2017, it went up to 120 hertz. It's now, from what I've been told, between 160 to 190 hertz. And from what my friends tell me on the other side, in about 2.5 years, the hertz rate will go up to about nearly 800 hertz. And as this vibrations keep happening, and the planet ascends higher and higher, the negative entities, negative governments, negative individuals will not be allowed to stay here anymore. And also, they won't be able to continue to be negative. So, I think Dr. Corsi's written a wonderful book about all the things Machiavellian plots going on in Washington D.C. associated with these negative entities against President Trump. But I know it'll be sorted out for the better. One thing I wanted to tell you about: a couple days ago on Tuesday night, I listened to John Hogue on Coast to Coast, and I have a lot of respect for John Hogue. I think he's a wonderful scholar and certainly knows a lot about Nostradamus. But he was making predictions about a possible third world war starting in Syria this year, and then another continuing on to the year 2021. And personally, I can't think he's further away from the truth, because I don't see us having a nuclear war, because all of us here want a better life and a better planet. And what happens when people extrapolate from the past in looking into the future, they fail to realize that we're shifting into a new higher dimension. And as we shift into this higher dimension, the old ways of doing things, including settling conflicts by war, simply will not exist. I just got an email from a listener, and she wanted to mention that April 22nd, which is the day that we'll be remembering my beautiful friend, Sonny Bunnell, at the Crystal Voyage, or at the Crystal Spiritual Center in Tacoma, is actually Earth Day. And also, too, I got another email as well on the island of Kauai in Hawaii. I wanted to mention that Alexander Bernaz is sponsoring a special event for Earth Day on April 22nd. To raise consciousness there and to save a beautiful natural farm called Mary's Farm in Kauai. If you'd like to come to her event, please email her at goldeneramedia@gmail.com. We'll be doing something special next Friday to celebrate Earth Day. I think Mother Earth, especially Gaia, is a living entity. And with the raising of the vibrations on this planet starting in September of 2016, that Mother Earth now is starting to ascend into the higher dimensions, and she wants to take as many people as she can along with us. In this solar system, in our solar system, there's not 8 or 9 planets in this third dimension. There's actually 40 different planets in all the different dimensions. And I'm told this ascension process is not only happening on planet Earth, but it's also happening on the Moon, on the Mars, on Jupiter, on Saturn, on Pluto, Neptune, Uranus. All these other planets are also ascending and going into the higher dimensions. But the one planet, I've been told by my Galactic Alliance friends, that's been holding the rest of the solar system from advancing has been this Earth. And it's been people here who are too negative and who didn't want to recognize that we are all one, and that, you know, if we all work together, we can co-create a beautiful, happy planet that'll be one of peace and prosperity for all of us here. There's no need for suffering. There's no need for war. And I've gone over this in my book, Messages from the Masters, with messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President Jack Kennedy, Nostradamus, and a host of other beautiful, great spirits, that our future is indeed very, very bright for not only ourselves, but our children and our children's children. And with that, I want to leave that message with everyone today, and to know that our future is indeed very, very bright. We'll have some special guests on you 1 week from today. And I want to thank everyone so much for listening to Out of This World Radio. Your support helps raise consciousness, because I know we have a beautiful and bright future ahead of us. And thank you so much for listening today. I hope everyone has a beautiful and happy weekend. Bye-bye, everyone.